Hey everyone, Eric Nelson of StuntGranny.com here. It's July 8th, 2010, and I'm here tonight with a special guest, Travis Shillington, a.k.a. T.S. Aggressor, a veteran of independent wrestling in Iowa and around the Midwest. And we're talking because Travis will be hosting a training session this Friday as part of the George Tragos Luthez Hall of Fame induction ceremony taking place this weekend at the National Wrestling Hall of Fame Dan Gable Museum in Waterloo, Iowa. The training session begins at 12:30 p.m. Friday at the Five Sullivan Brothers Convention Center, also in Waterloo, Iowa. And Mick Foley and Terry Funk, who will be in attendance this weekend, will also join at about 1:30 p.m. If you need more information, call Troy Peterson at 515-306-4801, or you can email him at WRESSHOW, so that's restshow, at yahoo.com. And, of course, if you need a full schedule of events, you can go to the Wrestling Museum's website at wrestlingmuseum.org. Travis, how are you tonight?
Doing great. On the road down to Waterloo as we speak.
All right, cool. I'll be on that same road in about 12 hours or so, something like that, 12 or 16 hours, something. So I'll be seeing you there soon.
Awesome.
Cool.
You know, I got to correct you a little bit, Eric. I'm really not hosting a training session. You know, I'm just coming down with some of the guys just to be a part of this. The actual training is going to be conducted by Mick Foley and Terry Funk, which I think you did mention that.
Yeah, they're going to be a part of that. Okay, yeah, I was going by. I've been getting press releases on a regular basis, which makes me feel a lot more important than I probably should feel.
You know, the nice thing about it is I think there's a couple spots open, so if there's anybody out there that would like to be a part of that, I think the cost is $125. You know, there's a couple of spots for a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. You know, it'd be something pretty cool to be a part of.
Yeah, no, it really is once in a lifetime. I mean, Mick Foley and Terry Funk go back years and years, but how often do they get together? How often do they get together in front of, you know, a crowd of people ready to train, and how often do they actually get involved in training the people that are willing to be there? And God only knows what they're going to go through. Let's jump quite ahead, actually, then. What will your role be? Are you going to take part in this training session at all? Are you going to be there to?
No, I really just support guy. You know, I'm really going to be hands off with the whole process. You know, we've got a lot of guys prepared to perform on the show, and okay. You know, of course, as you know, with Impact Pro Wrestling, we travel around mostly in Iowa, but across the Midwest, and do a lot of shows for whoever, civic groups, fair boards, and some private shows. But you know, we're just another indie promotion out there, just trying to put ourselves on the map and get our guys in front of a crowd. So. What a great honor it is to be a part of this. We've got a lot of our guys involved with this show. We're really proud of everybody that's taken part of this, and I'm looking forward to having a real good time. So I guess getting back to your original question is, what is my role going to be? Is simply trying to help organize everything with Troy Peterson, the promoter, and you know, I'm bringing the ring down, so we're going to be involved with the setup and a little bit of coaching with the guys and talking to some of them. But then it's pretty much let them do their thing. You know, they're all very hungry and talented athletic guys, and just let them loose.
Great. Give us a little background on yourself. Tell us about Travis Shillington.
What's that now, Eric? I'm sorry. I'm hitting that dead spot, you know, just north of Fort Dodge here where it's a little tough.
Anybody who listens to our podcast on a regular basis knows all about Fort Dodge, Iowa, trust me. So give us a little background on Travis Shillington. Tell me where you grew up, where you're living now, all that good stuff.
Sure. You know, I grew up, Eric, right in north central Iowa. Algona's the name of the town, affectionately called A-Town by me and a lot of the guys. But I grew up there, went to college in Mason City, North Iowa Community College, then on to Iowa State in Ames. But I always wanted to pursue professional wrestling. So back in the mid to late 90s, the fall of 1996, I actually got the balls to go up and train with Olympic Pan American gold medalist Brad Rangins. It was a pretty unique experience because I got to work out with not only Brad Rangins, but Wayne the Train Bloom from AWA fame, as well as Mr. Perfect Kurt Hennig. And that was something else, you know, going through the training back in the fall of 96 was when wrestling was just starting to really pick up and get rolling. And it was just an incredible time to be a part of it. So I trained in Hamel, actually, Minnesota, for about 4 months before I had my first match in the... It was actually February of 97 when I actually started wrestling. So I've been at this for a little over 13 years. I actually started training guys, you know, once I got some experience. I am a firm believer in, you know, you teach a monkey to do a lot of the holds and things, but to really start to understand and put things together, you need to have some experiences and be up and down the road a little bit and put yourself out there in a lot of different circumstances to really learn from that, to teach other people how to approach the same thing. So a few years after I started wrestling, I did start training. I got a ring, and it kind of took off from there. You know, I've been wrestling predominantly in Iowa, but also Minnesota early on. I did a few years of wrestling for Harley Race down in Missouri and the surrounding area. You know, of course, I wrestled in South Dakota, Kansas, Nebraska, Illinois, Wisconsin, and just had a great time with it. But one of the best part about it for me is the people you meet along the way. You know, especially as a coach or a mentor figure, you get to work with a lot of these guys that are all very passionate about the same business that we all are passionate about, and just a great thing. You have a lot of good friendships and meet a lot of good people.
Definitely. How did your interest in pro wrestling start?
Well, you know, I was always a fan growing up, you know, and that's what I hear from so many people that call and ask about training, is that they've always been fans since the day they were their earliest memories, and I'm no different. You know, I can certainly identify with that because I grew up the same way. Back in when I was young, it was, you know, the Central States era, you know, and Harley and Dusty Rhodes and Bulldog Bob Brown and Rufus R. Jones, you know, those are the names that I recall, but also watching Georgia Championship with guys like Roddy Piper, Tommy Rich, Junkyard Dog, the Freebirds. You know, it was huge. Hulk Hogan was huge, you know, back around the time when I was young. So really, very big part of making me want to be a part of this. But, you know, like a lot of guys starting off, at least when I was coming through in the mid to late 90s, I was always worried about being large enough, being physically big enough to be a part of wrestling. Because I thought you had to be humongous, you know. And I started my training, you know, I run about, at least then, I ran about 6 foot, 230 pounds. And I was really worried about being the smallest guy there, having to be a high flyer and be acrobatic, which I'm really not. But it turned out that a lot of the guys I trained with were roughly the same size. I had one huge guy in there with us, but Mr. Destiny. But other than that, most guys were around my size. So, and then as you get out on the indie scene and start working some of these shows, you realize that, you know, 6 foot, 230 pounds isn't that small. But, you know, certainly not a huge guy, but didn't have to play the acrobatic game, that probably would have sent me to the hospital.
Well, now give us a little background on T.S. Aggressor. Where is T.S. from? Who does T.S. consider some of his influences?
Well, T.S. Aggressor is from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, the city of six Lombardi trophies, as I'm a huge Steeler fan. But, you know, just the T.S. thing came up. I like the initial name. I actually stole that idea, I guess, just from hearing the name J.B. Trask. He was an excellent wrestler up in Minnesota at the time. He ran a group called Northern Premier Wrestling. He was really good. I just loved that name with the way the initials sounded, so I just added the Aggressor and tried to take a hard-nosed style. Not a hardcore style, but just a rough and ready-to-go type wrestling style, and you know, just be kind of a rugged dude out there, ready to throw down.
Who would you count as some of your influences then?
Oh, big one. It's funny that I got to meet Kurt Hennig so early on because he was such a big influence on how I wanted to be. I always figured we were roughly the same size, and then, of course, I met him. He was humongous, you know, a lot bigger than I was, you know, so that just floored me how big he was, because you watch these guys on TV, you just don't get a real understanding at the size of some of these guys. And Kurt Hennig was a guy I thought was a smaller guy, a guy like Shawn Michaels, guys like Bret Hart, the great Muda, Ric Flair, guys that were in the lower to mid 200-pound range but could do a lot of different things. You know, those guys are real big influences on me because I wanted to emulate a lot of what they were doing out there athletically. And of course, you know, the end game is to get the crowd to attach to what you're doing and get them involved and give them a night you never forget. That's something we preach when we're training, doing a lot of that is connecting with the crowd and give these fans, you know, they've given you their Saturday night, they've given you their money to buy a ticket, so it's our obligation, our privilege to give them what they pay for and give them a night that hopefully they'll never forget.
Definitely. What is your? You mentioned Harley Race earlier. Talk to me about your connection, your relationship with Harley Race. I know you've
wrestled on
two
World League
references.
The first time, World League Wrestling, was such a great time down there. You know, Harley and his late wife, BJ, she was so great too. Very, very welcoming to the whole group down there. And me and Mr. Destiny, who was living in Des Moines, I believe, at the time, we used to ride together down to Eldon, Missouri, down the Lake of the Ozarks, and then we'd have a lot of shows around there. Sometimes you do 2 or 3 day shots at a time for Harley. But I tell you, that first time Harley Race left a message on my machine at home, I about crap my pants. You know, I mean, that's a guy I've looked up to for a long time. That's a guy that, you know, if you know anything about wrestling, you know he is a legitimate tough guy. You know, he's whipped a lot of ass all over the country, you know, and he's a guy that you got to respect just from the standpoint that he was a guy that had to go out and fight people after the shows just to maintain wrestling's legitimacy. So, I mean, he came up in a much rougher time than we did, you know, and every generation thinks that the guys that follow them have it much easier. And I think that's true for a lot of us to come in after guys like Harley paved the way. And but I tell you, you know, just on a personal level, he's been so good to me and just been a great guy that I could call on. And we've brought him in for a lot of the different shows we've done, and he's just been awesome. His guys have been awesome, very friendly, very eager to help out, and just a great relationship there with Harley, with World League Wrestling, and with the Race family.
Definitely. Will he be there as a part of this weekend's event?
You know, unfortunately, you know, he's been a part of this for so many years, but that was one of the things I talked to Harley, you know, several months trying to get him to come down. But, you know, as a man, the kind of guy Harley is, he did accept a booking for Saturday down mm-hmm. in St. Louis. And he just said at this stage of the game, he wasn't going to pull a double shot like that in him, Waterloo, and then St. Louis. So you got to respect that, too, and understand where he's coming from. But, boy, we'd love to have him there. You know, like I say, he's been a part of this for so many years that it's a shame he can't be there. But we'll certainly be looking at bringing Harley Race in and some of his guys for some Impact Pro Wrestling shows down the line.
Yep. Is this is the event on Friday night in Waterloo, is that going to be then an Impact Pro Wrestling event?
It really is. You know, we've got some guys that don't traditionally wrestle for us. Notably, Ring of Honor guys like Tyler Black and Austin Aries. Both of these guys are
great.
Awesome athletes. They've worked with us in the past, but they're just phenomenal. So it's a great privilege to have these guys as a part of our show. And it was important to us to bring these guys in that have all this experience and all this skill and have them work with our guys. You know, we could have just brought them in and have them wrestle each other, but it was important to us to match them up with a couple of our guys just to have that have them take a few of our guys out of the learning tree, so to speak, and just work with them a little bit. So that, I think that'll be a great benefit to – I think we've got Aries matched up against Nikki Free. Now, have you ever taken a look at Nikki Free?
Yeah, I've seen him. I've seen him wrestle. I saw him wrestle last year at the Hall of Fame show, and I saw him wrestle a few months later up in Algona. So yeah.
Well, I tell you what, Nikki Free is an emerging star. I tell you, the kid is 6'6". He's got a lot of charisma, a lot of athletic ability for a guy that big. He's lean, and he's an up and comer. So I'm really happy for him to get a chance to work with Austin Aries.
Oh yeah, I don't know if he's playing the role or not, but he's like the prototypical baby face.
Oh, absolutely.
Definitely someone a crowd can get behind as soon as they see him come through the curtain, they know that, you know, time to cheer for Nikki Free.
I tell you what, he wrestles with a lot of passion, a lot of heart, and you see that in the way he approaches the game. So I'm really looking forward to what they put together and put out there
cool.
tomorrow night.
Very cool. Yeah, and you mentioned Tyler Black, you mentioned Austin Aries. The shows that I've been to that you've promoted, I've also seen a very young at the time, Bam Neely, as part of the Hellraisers, Blood and Guts. I'm not sure if he was Blood or Guts.
Right, you know, we used to run shows quite a bit, and when I first started wrestling, like I say, back in 97, Bam Neely, who used to wrestle as one of the tag team members of Blood and Guts, he was Guts.
Okay.
Boy, he was a big athletic guy, and I've wrestled him a few times before, too. And,
yeah.
Boy, what a big dude. I think he's 6'4", 6'5", right in there. I mean, sometimes on TV, he looked like he was two heads taller than Chavo Guerrero, which is
right.
just crazy. But no, he was a big athletic guy. I mean, that guy can move for such a big dude. And real nice guy, too. Real good guy to work with.
Cool. I'm trying to think of other names. I know ODB wrestled on a show that I went to. It was actually up at the fairgrounds in Algona.
Sure. You know, that was a funny one. You know, Ken Kennedy was at that show in the audience. You know, it's funny. You had Austin Aries was on that show as well, and you had Silas Young, who just traveled. That guy's NWA Junior Heavyweight Champion or something, or at least he was at the time, maybe a year ago or so. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen or heard from him in a while, but, boy, he was a talented guy. We had a lot of talented guys that didn't even wrestle on the show.
Yeah, I'm kidding. So, and like you said, you like to pair up these people that come in. And well, what other names can you think of? Who else have you brought in?
Well, one of the guys I got a kick out of wrestling very early on in his career was Ted DiBiase Jr.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I got the chance to work with him a little bit down in Muscatine. We did a show with Mr. Destiny and I taking on the DiBiase brothers. Now, Mike, who isn't on WWE TV, is a little older than Ted, mm-hmm. I believe, and just a little smaller. But and then Teddy was, of course, now he's a star on Monday nights. But boy, it was good. You know, actually, one of the first matches they had was in our ring, and I can say the same thing really about Joe Hennig now on the NXT show, wrestling as Michael McGillicuddy.
Let's see. Perry Saturn. You brought Perry Saturn into shows before.
Oh yeah. He's been a lot of fun. He's a pretty free spirited individual, you know. And he's a guy really. When I started, like I say, in '97, he was really big in WCW. He was their TV champion. He had a lot of explosive throws, and he looked like $1 million and a real believable badass. So he was a guy I really liked, and I was really jacked to get to. I actually got to team up with him a couple of times, so
yeah.
It was awesome. Awesome having that guy in my corner, and one of my favorite moments was wrestling in a real little town called Delta, Iowa. This goes back to the early 2000s. Well, it wouldn't be that early because he would have been out of WWF at the time, but I don't know. It could have been 2004, let's say, and Perry Saturn got thrown out of the ring during our tag match, and I remember hearing a fan, a kid, somebody I didn't know, not a relative of mine or my best friend or anything sitting in the front row, but an actual ticket-buying fan yell at Perry Saturn telling him to get his ass up off the ground and help TS, you know. So it made me feel pretty good that they cared about old TS, too, even though Perry Saturn was there, you know. And Perry Saturn, you know, a lot of the association with him comes from a guy that lives in Mason City that you may know, Sonny Ono.
Yep.
He was a guy that was involved with. He's been at some of our shows and stuff, too. Actually, he ran a show at Mason City a few years back that I was a part of where he brought in Lenny Lane and Jimmy Hart and some guys from overseas. I can't remember what their names were, but, you know, just a real small show, an outdoor deal in Mason.
Cool. So, yeah, you've got a big network of people going on. And as you said, too, the advantages of bringing these wrestlers in at various stages in their career and various stages of Impact Pro Wrestling, guys' careers, pairing them up with younger wrestlers for them to learn while they're in the ring on the job, but also, as you said earlier, to put on great matches for the fans. So it's cool that you're able to do that.
Oh, yeah, that's first and foremost is just to take care of the people who trusted you with their money. And that's something that all of our guys, and I'm sure all wrestlers, you know, I can speak for a lot of people when you say that, is we all take that very seriously. You know, I mean, we work very hard, put a lot of hours in. And, you know, I've heard it said before that, you know, you don't pay a wrestler to actually wrestle the 10 minutes they're in the ring. You pay them to get there. You pay them for all the hard work and stuff it takes to get to that point. The wrestling's fun. The wrestling's what we love to do. It's that release. It's that therapeutic, emotional time we get to spend out there and just have a blast. But, you know, the hard work is all done prior to, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
you know,
it's
the travel, it's being away from people you care about, and it's working out in the gym, it's the tanning and dieting and the things that you do to put yourself ahead of the pack and to make yourself stand out. And to be a good entertainer, you know, to put the hours in the training, in the ring, you know. So it's just something that the actual wrestling part of it, that's the reward for a lot of the guys. And I think I speak for a lot of guys when I say that is the wrestling's the fun part.
Sure. Well, this sounds like a lot of fun. Talk to us about the time that you were used on Monday Night Raw and how that came about. You've had a lot of wrestling.
I got to thank Harley Race back in 2001. I remember it really well because the day before, the Sunday rather, is the day Dale Earnhardt had that horrible wreck that he ended up dying from. Or I guess he died instantly from the wreck.
Yeah.
But the next night, I was lined up. Harley Race actually called me and said, "Hey, we need some guys for a barroom brawl down at St. Louis." And I said, "I'll be there." You know, so I teamed up with my good friend Mr. Destiny, Jay Hanna, once again. Two of us made our way down to the Savas Center. Was sold out, like down of 20,000 people, whatever the Savas Center holds down there in St. Louis. It was crazy. We got down there, and the first person I see backstage is the Big Show and Shane McMahon. And what a mountain of a human being that guy is. You know, we got some big guys in Impact Pro Wrestling. You know, we've got a few guys cruising around 6'6", 6'5", you know, some guys around 300 pounds. But, boy, the Big Show is just a mountain of a human being. You know, so this is back in 2001, but there was all kinds of guys there, Triple H, Steve Austin, The Rock, the Hardy Boys, all the big stars at the time were there, and it was crazy, you know, because you get to go eat catering with these guys. They pay you to be a part of this skit. They drove us to a strip club, a Deja Vu strip joint. We got to sit there with the Right to Censor at the time, which was Val Venus and the Goodfather and Ivory and Stevie Richards and Bradshaw and Farouk, you know, Ron Simmons. So anyway, we get into this scene where me and Destiny are sitting side by side right up there at Sniffer's Row. And the cat, they're getting the cat up there to do a little dance. And, you know, the Right to Censor busts in. They start breaking pool cues and beer bottles on everybody. They throw Ron Simmons right between me and my buddy, Mr. Destiny. Bull Buchanan, who's a huge guy, jumps down off the bar, punches me in the face, knocks me out right away, you know, because I got a glass jaw. But so anyway, Bull Buchanan drops me like a bad habit. He drops my buddy, Mr. Destiny. And when all the hell ends, when all the turmoil settles down and the dust settles, I got a great shot of Ron Simmons and Bradshaw both flanking me on each side face down while I'm laying there sound asleep face up. And I actually got a lot of Bradshaw was actually a guy who trained to Brad Ringus just like I did, of course, a few years earlier. So we had that in common. But it was just great to be around 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Had a great time with it. You know, like I say, we went back and got to sit in the crowd on the hard camera side and watch Monday Night Raw live as our skit or our pre-tape played like it was live. You know, it was just awesome, you know.
Oh, that's cool.
Just
that's
awesome
be
to be a part of that. You know,
yeah,
I've never really had any tryouts or haven't really even pursued any tryouts with the WWE to get an audition, so to speak, or a dark match or anything like that because, you know, for a lot of reasons, really. You know, for one, they probably just don't want an old ass like me out there. But number two, it's a hard, hard life. People got to respect the fact that it's a very physical, very grinding, tough schedule these guys keep. You know, wrestling once a week or 3-4 times a month like a lot of us do, that's tough enough. For me, that's more than tough for me. But for these guys to go out there 3-5 nights in a row and do it week after week, I just can't imagine. And being away from, you know, their kids, their wives, their family, their friends, I mean, what a tremendous sacrifice these people make to be a part of this, which just shows you the love they have for it. But I guess getting back to the whole thing about the dark matches, a buddy of mine, Mr. Destiny, has had several dark matches, or I should say auditions or tryouts with WWE, and just never really got the opportunity to turn the corner and turn it into more. But what an exciting time. You know, these young guys coming up, we got a guy like Nikki Free. We've had a few that have had opportunities to meet some of the WWE staff and talk to them and be recruited for these types of tryouts. So I just hope to see more of that in the future.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And when it happens, let us know, too, because we're definitely excited to hear about it.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, I guess I've come to Algona to see shows. I've been to Delta. I had to get the hell out of the way because a sea of chairs was about to pile on top of me when Perry Saturn took a big dive into the chairs. So, yeah. No.
That guy was just nuts. You know, I mean, he did the things where, you know, he asked guys in the back. He goes, hey, I'm going to put this guy in a Boston Crab. You throw this chair at me, at my head. And everybody's just scared to do it. And, you know, and they go, how hard do you want me to throw it? Well, he goes like this, and he picks up a steel chair and flings it about as hard as a human being can throw a chair at the brick wall. I mean, everybody just went silent, like, holy shit. It sounded like a shotgun blast hitting the brick wall. And he was telling us that's how he wanted it to be hit in the head, with a goddamn chair.
Wow.
Like, holy shit, count me out. I'm glad I'm sitting on the apron for that one, buddy.
No kidding.
You know,
oh, man. Well, okay, then a few points to bring together. You bring in guys like Perry Saturn to work with other wrestlers in IPW. You also talk about the sacrifice that wrestlers have to make, and that, of course, is based on the passion that they have. You've turned your passion into a passion for teaching as well, and you are the trainer for Impact Pro Wrestling in North Central Iowa.
We have a great time.
Good. Definitely. Talk to me about your theories on pro wrestling training, your approaches. It says on the Impact Pro Wrestling website you're not big into doing chop drills. It's up to the wrestler to show
absolutely,
up and
absolutely. Now, I think you have so many people out there representing pro wrestling that shouldn't be. That they're not ambassadors for what we do. And I think, you know, when you're a part of a training program, as I am, it's kind of your responsibility to make things easier for people, help people out. A lot of the criticisms I receive from my peers is that I'm too easy on a lot of our students, and I'll never change. You know, this sport, this entertainment business of professional wrestling is physical, it's rough. I don't see any reason to try to make it tougher, to try to make people quit. If people aren't passionate and committed to becoming good at this and embracing it for all that it is, then they will not succeed. You know, and I don't have to try to expedite that process. You know, I don't feel that training is about TS, Aggressor, Travis Shillington, showing people how tough I am. This is pro wrestling. This isn't MMA. You know, I mean, it's the art of what we do is to make things look as violent and as legitimate, as impactful as possible, but remain the art is to do it without hurting the guy. You know, we all got to go to do our job the next day and go home to see our families and stuff. There's no reason we should have a broken jaw or a black eye. Now, granted, this is physical and it's a live event and anything can happen, but I don't think you need to train so hard on people or make it so rough that that they quit. You know, I mean, they quit, but I don't think that we do anything intentionally rough or careless. Maybe that's a better word to use. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's just one of those things is you treat people with respect as you'd like them to treat you, you know, as you'd like them to treat your family, maybe. And maybe it's I like to call it the platinum rule. Try to treat people better than you expect to be treated in some instances. But, you know, like I say, too, I mean, we do have to bump. You know, you work on bumping and hitting the ropes. Now, we don't go crazy in every workout and hit the ropes 5,000 times like they do in Tough Enough until they have a humongous rash on their arms and, you know, or their backs. But you know, there's a reason for that. I mean, when you look at a typical wrestling match, especially an indie one where it's maybe 10, 15 minutes long, and you look at how many times they're actually hitting the ropes during that match. You know, it isn't 45 times in a row. You know, just like the number of bumps. I don't think you need to overbump your students. I don't think you need to have them run the ropes until they puke. I don't think you need to be overly rough with them because the training is always going to be tougher than the actual matches.
Yeah.
And, you know, you prepare for game day. Actually, the training's tougher than, like I say, the training's tougher than the matches.
Yep. So based on your experience in doing training sessions like the one that's going to be held this weekend, and just with an educated guess as to what Terry Funk and Mick Foley are going to bring to the table, what do you think people should expect from this training session this weekend?
Well, what I hope and what I expect, I really don't know because I don't know Terry Funk or Mick Foley on a personal level, so I really can't speak on what I expect. I don't expect them to be real rough or real hands-on. You know, I don't think they're going to be sliding in the ring and throwing drop kicks and freaking top rope clotheslines at these guys and telling them to sell for them. But, you know, at the same time, I hope what they get out of it, I hope what the students that have taken part in this and put their money and their time into, is I hope they get some heartfelt, sincere advice from two guys that have been up and down the road. You know, that's something that there's a lot to be said for. These guys have lived this life for so many years and been very, very successful at doing something we all are a part of and we all just admire what they've done with their careers. So what I hope our students learn is I guess the little things about embracing now and embracing the crowd and getting the most out of your every movement, you know, and getting the most reaction for the least amount of effort and still giving all your effort, but just doing it intelligently so that you're not killing yourself for no response from the crowd, you know, and I think these guys, of course, have been through hell and done a lot to their bodies, but at the same time, they're both tremendous wrestlers, and, you know, they've done a lot to themselves, but I think they've done it in a manner that you could still respect the way they work and the heart and passion they have for it.
Yeah.
So I hope that's something that bleeds off. I know that's something, just going back to my own training experience with Kurt Hennig, is that guy's work ethic rubbed off on me, and that guy was a hard-ass worker. I mean, when it came to just doing cardio, just wrestling on the mat, because we did a lot of mat wrestling as a part of our conditioning. I mean, I didn't throw up, but there's a lot of times I felt like I was gonna, you know. And I know guys that came before me had it a lot harder, but I tell you, it was tough on us, you know. And Kurt Hennig was a guy right there with his blonde curly hair flying. He'd get that hair ripped out. There'd be sweat flying and hair flying, and just like a couple of cats were fighting out there because he was a super competitive individual. But he had a ton of heart, and he worked out hard. You know, he really worked out hard, and that's something Brad told us is that, you know, you see the way Kurt approaches this. He knows he's been there. He's wrestled Hulk Hogan. He's been in the main events. He knows what it takes to get there. He knows how goddamn hard it is to get back there, too. So, you know, that was a great example of work ethic, you know, in Kurt Hennig and in Brad Rangins and Wayne Bloom. I mean, they were all just excellent teachers. And sometimes they could be a little harsh or be a little blunt, but I wouldn't trade a minute of my time up there. It was awesome. It was a dream come true. I tell you, you talk about, you know, I talk to students all the time, and they're always wanting to know how much do you cost and how far are you from where I live? You know, whatever. You know, like, Jesus, how about worry about, is it worth the shit or not? How about, are you going to get booked when you complete the training? Because some people train and never book you. You know, I mean,
yeah.
You know, are you going to be trained to not hurt anybody, to entertain the crowd? You know, I mean, we're not just going to sit here and flop around and do bumps all day. We're going to learn how to wrestle and entertain. But, boy, I get so fired up and start talking, I forget my original point. But, you know, it's just, it's one of those things where you hear about all the passion that people have for it, and you can certainly identify with it because you were there yourself, and, you know, you just want to do the best you can for those people who paid. If you're, if your head's in the right place, you want to do the best you can for the people who bought a ticket to see you, you know.
Yep. Definitely. And speaking of buying tickets, again, the show is in Waterloo, Iowa. It's this Friday night. It's at the Young Arena. And what should people expect when they come to the wrestling show at Young Arena this weekend?
Well, I think something I want to tell the guys, too, is that this is a legend show. I mean, you're talking Mick Foley, Terry Funk, but let's not forget some of the other guys. Like, you probably got Paul the Butcher Vachon, Mad Dog Vachon, Warren Bockwinkel's being honored. Now, Nick Bockwinkel will not be there. But you do have guys like Baron Von Raschke, Larry the Axe Hennig. You know, it's just amazing. Danny Hodge, I think Nick Bell from Iowa Hawkeyes is going to be there. Carlton Hasselrig, a former Steeler, ass-kicking Steeler, all-pro guard back in the early 90s. But, you know, there's just a lot of different celebrities from not just Iowa, but across the country. And it's going to be something. And I guess my original point is this is probably going to be a meet-and-greet first and a wrestling show second. What I mean by that is there's going to be a lot of opportunities for people to get autographs, pictures, memorabilia, do that type of thing, and get to meet a lot of these legends. And, you know, and there's going to be a kick-ass wrestling show on top of it. And I know our guys are going to deliver on that end, but I think it's going to be a lot of these people are going to come just to meet the legends, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that, you know. But they might come to meet the legends, but they're going to see a kick-ass wrestling show as a little side benefit.
Very cool. Anything else you'd like to mention? We talked about Impact Pro Wrestling. You have a website, right?
Yeah, well, you can check us out at www.impactprowrestling.com. And there's a training link on there for anybody that's interested in training. And, you know, you just come check us out. We're not a great website, but I think you'll find, you know, our style of wrestling is a hell of a good time. It's basically good guy, bad guy stuff, heels and faces. We really pattern ourselves or really strive to be something you can, your kid, grandma can bring the grandkid, grandpa, whatever.
Yep, cool. All right. That all sounds excellent. So everybody check out impactprowrestling.com. Travis, I'll be seeing you at the weekend of events. Should be cool. Can I look for you up in the stands? Are you going to be back?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'll be catting around somewhere. You know, I mean, I'm not going to be hanging out at Flirts. I'll be out hanging out at the wrestling show.
That sounds awesome.
Maybe, you know, just look me up, Eric. I know you're not a big drinker, but maybe I'm here an adult bit.
You didn't know me when I was a big drinker, and I could be a big drinker again if I had to be. All right, good deal. Thank you, Travis, for being a part of the show. This is Eric Nelson for StuntGranny.com. Everybody, once again, go to WrestlingMuseum.org. Check out all the information about this weekend's events, and we'll see you next time.